The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Welcome to this week's edition of Community Issues and Missions. I am your host for today, Jeremy Ross. And this week we have here at the station, Joe Arthur, who is the executive director for the Central Pennsylvania Area Food Bank. I believe I got that all correct, right?
Central Pennsylvania Food Bank.
All right, good. I think it's interesting the timing on a lot of these because we've had guests on before that are also food bank related that are all in the area. And so I really get a chance to see how many different organizations there are that handle a lot of this stuff, but each story is somewhat different. And That's what I find to be fascinating. So Joe, go ahead and start us off. Tell me a little bit about what is the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank?
Sure. Central Pennsylvania Food Bank is a regional food bank, which means we serve a large area. In our case, 27 counties, pretty much the whole Susquehanna Valley, and we go out as far west as Clearfield. But we wouldn't be able to do our work without the local partners that you probably are talking about. In this area, Project Share would be an example of a very large and good partner of ours. And how we work together, we're gathering food every single day in very large quantities. Most of that is donated by companies and farms and all types of food businesses. And about 80% of our food is actually donated by those businesses. And then also we run food drives, which most folks are familiar with that. And then we also buy maybe 10 or 12% of staple items that we need. For instance, fresh produce that we need more and more of that. We bid on surplus produce, things like that. And then we also, there are USDA agricultural programs. There are surplus commodity foods, and we will accept as much of that as we possibly can when it's offered. And then we provide it to our local, we call them partner agencies. You might know them as the local food bank, the local pantry, a shelter, soup kitchen, children's programs, seniors programs, all kinds of partners. And they're helping people right at the street level. That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, because I noticed like when I was looking through your website, you have a section on there that's a lot of commonly asked questions that people have, one of which is like, you know, who are you actually partnered with? And really getting a chance to see that there are a lot of things that are interconnected in how they all, you know, work together.
And we have surveyed our partners over the years, and it's very hard for them to raise the amount of food consistently that they need to serve their communities. So turns out we generally provide about 70% of the food to our partners, and that is our job, get as much good food as we can and get it to them at the lowest possible cost. And it's actually a partnership, and it's not competition.
Okay.
And that sometimes comes as a surprise to people, but we are not competing. We are actually supporting them at the local level because we have the scale to work with major companies and very large amounts of food.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like at the beginning when I mentioned that, you know, there are several different types of ministries that deal with this type of thing. And I was thinking to myself, how is it there's like no, like you said, competition or overlap or people stepping on each other's toes in different ways.
Right.
Which,
And it really is symbiotic, I guess would be a good word for it. And it is also important to note that about 2/3 of our partners at the food bank are actually faith-based. That's a very large part of our partnership throughout those 27 counties, whether it's rural or urban or suburban. The faith community is very important to us. Even though we're a secular organization, we work together, right?
Okay.
And we all work under a pretty robust rule set to make sure that people in need are treated well. They're not charged for food. The food is safe. It's good food. And all of the rules that you might expect to have in a food organization.
So you bring up a pretty important point that I hadn't considered, that, you know, a lot of people, I think, sometimes might associate charities with being very, you know, connected with religion or with faith. But, you know, you bring up a point that they don't necessarily have to all be like that. There can be kind of an element that's like that, but there can also be a part that's, you know, like you said, secular.
Yeah, and we all share this desire, whether you're, you know, like myself and many of our employees, very much Matthew 25, verse 35. We're, you know, on a personal level, we're driven by that. But it's a good idea to help people in need, regardless of your religion or if you have no religion at all. There's no reason we can't work together. And we love this mission in part because it does bring together people in a way that these days, you know, it's, you don't see as much of that, but we work together, we pool our resources. Those that can provide food help, but those that can't provide food, maybe they can make a donation. But we bring that together and focus that for our partners so they have enough food for people that need it.
Yeah, I've really realized the dramatic effect that it has when you take the time or the opportunity to reach out and provide for somebody else. Because, you know, in our society, we often have trouble, I feel, looking outside of ourselves. We're so on the go. We like to do our own things and we don't take the time. And yet when you do take a moment to slow down and help somebody else, I've experienced it a few times, even in my own life, that you come out of that completely surprised by the impact that it had on your own mentality.
Absolutely. And I'm personally very blessed. I'm paid staff for the food bank, but most of the people that work in this mission are actually volunteers out at our partners. And without them, we would not be able to do the mission, same as our donors. If we didn't have our donors, there wouldn't be a mission. So I'm blessed that I do it, you know, for a living. But I will say I can't imagine a better job to go home from each day and feel like you're truly helping people, because you can see it. You are actually helping people.
Yeah, well, that brings up one of the questions I wanted to ask, because I always like to find out from our guests the story of their own lives, you know, in conjunction with their particular ministry. So with your case, I'd like to hear, what was it, kind of your journey that brought you from whatever you were doing before into working with the food bank?
Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but when I was a child and lived in northeastern Pennsylvania, up in coal country, we struggled quite a bit as a family, although we always had enough food. We always had enough food. But there were years and months where we had a lot of struggles. So I think I was always used to being in a family that it was a stretch. So I was blessed to be able to go to Penn State University, come out with a professional degree in accounting and finance, had a very good career that I'm very proud of, and started to volunteer for the food bank while I was in a banking career.
Okay.
And joined the board of directors, which is volunteer-based at our food bank, and still is. And I fell for the mission. And when the banking went through its difficulties about 10 years ago, and I was in several banks that merged and sold, I decided it was time to do what I really wanted to do, and that was work in a nonprofit organization. So I had an opportunity with the food bank to come back, and I've been blessed ever since.
So the professional skills that you had from the college years and what you did before, I'm guessing that transferred really well into doing this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're a large-scale operation, and you have to operate, even though you're a charity and it's a charitable mission, you have to apply good business principles, or again, the mission's going to end. You have to be able to keep your financial house in order and all of the other areas that it takes to really run a good organization. So I was able to use those skills in the nonprofit world, where sometimes they're lacking. So at our food bank, we've been able to build the kind of staff we need to do this work, serve our partners, and serve something like 150,000 people every month, people in need.
Yeah, because I was going to say, when you're looking at like the number of people that you serve, and you said, you know, all the different counties, like if you look at a map or a county layout of the state of Pennsylvania, and I laugh even that you haven't, you know, right here on the back of your business card, it's like this wide strip that runs all the way, from the bottom to the top and covers that entire area.
And there are a lot of distance there. I think it's over 18,000 square miles. We have almost 1,000 partners we work with. So we have a fleet of 18 trucks, refrigerated trucks, that are on the road every single day doing routes, bringing loads of food to our partners for people in need. And on the way back, they're gathering food at our food donors or at our farms. And all of that is a choreography that's very fascinating, but also is hard work. But we're blessed with a team that just loves this work as well.
So a lot of the food that ends up being donated to you, since like one of the things we had brought up before we even started talking is that my second job that I do is I work at Giant, which is straight up retail, you know, working with food.
Yeah, and a great donor to the food bank.
Yeah. So I was curious to find out, like, with the food that's donated, does that, like, how do I say it? Is that apply a lot of times, like what they say with like the damaged or, you know, stuff that's like less than optimal quality, or how does that
work?
Well,
actually, it's become very sophisticated. So we receive Giant Foods, for example, is one of the most innovative grocery store chains as far as capturing food from being wasted, right?
Okay.
So taking surplus and getting it to the food bank quickly so that it can be used by people in need. So, for example, they have one of the best meat rescue programs in the country, where when the meat in the fresh meat case at Giant doesn't sell and it's taken out of inventory, it's quickly frozen at the store level. And in all of their stores, they gather that frozen food back to the Carlisle Frozen Center. And then once a week, they bring a truckload of beautiful retail pack frozen meat to our food bank for people in need every single week. And that's, I don't know, dozens and dozens of stores.
Yeah.
And that's happening. It's really the way to do that. It's really the best practice. And it's just an example of how they work. So we receive donations from the store level. We receive it from the distribution center level as they estimate how much their stores are going to need. They may have an excess of a pallet of oranges or a pallet of onions, whatever that might be. So it's really a tight partnership with our grocery friends and other businesses. So it's not sitting on docks.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to move it quickly, and it's become very sophisticated. And you really have to have scale to do that. We have massive cold chain infrastructure to handle it. You can't really do that at the local level.
Yeah, because it makes me think of, with working in a store like I do, you know, I have the, you know, as an employee, I can go into the back sections, obviously, and see what goes on. And I think all the times of in the evening when they start getting in the shipments and all the things that come in to, you know, restock.
Right.
And people don't realize that, you know, when these shipments come in, you know, you see the big trucks out on the road, you know, and you think, oh, yeah, they're probably transporting stuff. But once you see what comes off of that, you know, these pallets, they're like taller than you are.
Right.
And everything is like jigsaw puzzled, you know, in there. You realize there is a lot of stuff that is coming in and going out. It is incredible, the amount of coordination.
In our case, for every single day, we have to bring in and share out the equivalent of 5 tractor trailer loads of food every day. Now, the scale of a grocery store chain is much larger, but 5 tractor trailer loads of food is a lot every single day.
Yeah.
And one of those has to be fresh produce, because we are very good with fresh produce and also milk and dairy and other fresh goods, as well as frozen. So it's you really have to have the infrastructure and the people and the training to do all of that right.
And which would you say is probably the most difficult category, since you say about frozen foods, produce? Like, is there one that tends to be more troublesome than the other to get
handled? Just because of the speed,
Okay. Probably
fresh produce and dairy. But we've become very good at it, and we actually train with our partner companies to make sure we're handling well. And we've gotten very good at being fast. And getting to our partners so everything is fresh and appropriate.
Okay, cool. All right, well, we're getting down to about the last minute or so of our program, and we have a lot of stuff to still talk about. So since my favorite thing is doing two-part programs for a lot of our guests, we're going to come back for a second program, and we'll talk some more about maybe a little bit of the startup history of the food bank itself, as well as some important agricultural stuff that's going on that I know you want to really discuss.
Yes, thank you.
Before we leave, so our listeners get a chance, what ways can they get in touch with you?
Very quickly, if they have access to the internet, which most folks do, centralpafoodbank.org. We have a very good website, so if they're interested in volunteering or donating or how the mission works, there's great resources on that. And also, if someone actually needs help, we have a find food feature.
Oh, okay.
They just click on that button. You just need to know your zip code, put in that zip code, and it'll actually give you a list of our partners that are right near you if you do actually need help. And people use that all the time.
Great.
So that's probably the best way. And also, our main number is 717-564-1700. We have a live receptionist. We don't put you in the phone jail. We believe people should be serving people. So we have a very good receptionist there.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. So I've been speaking with Joe Arthur, the executive director of the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank. We'll come back for part two in the following weeks here, so stay tuned for that. And until then, thank you for listening to this week's edition of Community Issues and Missions. We'll see you next time.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We'll talk to you again next week.